So why does he tell the story when they're out among friends? Well, here he has to do his part. He has to show that he's a person to pay attention to. We can trace it back again to the research on kids at play. Researchers like Marjorie Harness Goodwin found that boys in their groups constantly use talk to negotiate their status in the group, so they would tell stories, tell jokes, challenge the other boys, learn to deflect challenges from other boys so that they could keep center stage. Well, these are all skills that come into play when he finds himself at dinner with a group of other people. And now he can recast that troublesome event that happened at work, but he's recasting it in a way that it's funny. He's making it into a funny story. That's something constructive. He's not going to put on a whole display and do a performance for his wife, so there was no reason to do it at home. Incidentally, many of the women who complain that their husbands don't tell them anything say that this is something that only started to happen after they'd been together several years. When they were courting, he did amuse her with funny stories because then he had to win her over. But now that she is his and he no longer has to win her over, that need to display, to perform with his stories is no longer present. There's another difference in women's and men's conversational rituals that can come to the fore when the husband and wife or the boyfriend and girlfriend find themselves at dinner with another group. She might start to talk about something like politics or her family or his family, and he disagrees with her. He feels this is all part of the give and take. In fact, it makes things even livelier. We have different points of view, get the conversation going. And she feels he's being disloyal. You're on my team. You should not disagree. We should agree. And we find people who have studied boys and girls as well as women and men talking among friends, talking in groups, that women are less likely to disagree, or when they do disagree, they will put it in a way that doesn't threaten the other person's face, you might say. So they might start by saying, well, I agree with you partly, but, and then go on with what she disagrees about. People who have studied boys at play find that they are more likely to more baldly disagree, and the same goes for men, for example, at meetings, where in fact they might agree but start by saying, I disagree, and then put a slightly different spin on it. So the value of agreement versus disagreement can be very different, and the meaning that it seems to have for the relationship can be very different. And so it often results in the woman feeling that we should not disagree in public. You should always support me. And his feeling there's no lack of support in simply having a different point of view. So what I've tried to show in all these examples that I've given in this lecture is how our everyday conversations are made up of conversational rituals that we just think are saying what we mean and being a nice person in the way that it seems obvious one is a nice person, but we are using ways of talking that we've learned over time that have their roots in the way we played with our same-sex friends as kids, and that these rituals can be very different. The differences I focused on here, as I'll be focusing on in all these lectures, are differences that are influenced by our sex or gender, that is, whether we're women and men. But clearly, not all women and men fit these patterns, and many of the differences that don't fit the patterns come from differences with other sources: ethnic background, regional background, age, generation certainly plays a role, social class, and many of the others that I mentioned, like sexual orientation or the kind of profession that you're in, your place in the sibling hierarchy.